All right, on. Sounds like it. Thank you, College Choir. By way of an unspoken, please pray for one of our ladies in the college. She has a serious need that arose today. And by way of unspoken, pray for one of our college ladies. But I appreciate y'all singing and appreciate y'all being here. Just thank you. I see some visitors out and maybe it's your first time here. I'm no fill-in and unworthy to fill Pastor Dr. Bob Smith's shoes. But I'm thankful for the opportunity and pray that we can just get into the Word of God and be a blessing to you tonight. Preacher will be raring to go. And if he's in the pulpit Sunday morning, that's too early. Someone that's bold, say, preacher, go home. I'm not going to. But that would be too early, so we won't see him for a week or two. But he's going to be raring to get back in this pulpit and burn and preach the Word of God. So it's going to be exciting to see him back up here and to see him get up these stairs, amen, without pain and anguish. So pray for his recovery, and many of you have, and just pray that it will go well. And pray for the therapist. If you know Dr. Smith, that person needs a special measure of grace. And they're going to have to go over there and bend this joint and get it working for them. Also, this is going to sound really awkward, but I'm glad my wife is not here. Say, oh, wow. Well, I have to mention food in my message tonight, and she's about 2 months pregnant. And she doesn't have morning sickness. She has all day and all night sickness, and it's really been tough on her the last few months. So she wanted to be here, and I didn't. Because she may not like some things I have to say in my message tonight, and food, just the sound of it. Ladies that have had a child, you know that's not very popular when you're dealing with morning sickness. So she's not here, but she's home praying for me. And if you'd like to see a picture of our baby, I'll show it to you after the service. Amen. One of my children said it looks like a little hamster. I don't think that's the case, but that's a picture I must not lose and get home tonight. Find, if you will, two places in your Bible and stand. Mark 9, verse 50. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. And then Colossians 4, 6. It's going to be a very simple message tonight. Probably a little bit more teaching than preaching. Something that's you're going to leave here and use tonight, whether you like it or not. You will use this message. I've already used it many, many times today. It's practical. You'll either, by the way, use it or you won't use it. And something that's just edifying, helpful, something we probably gloss right over. I read a proverb a day to keep the devil away, and a lot of times I've read verses we'll look at tonight, and they just don't mean anything. They sound good, and you say, wow, that's true. But how often do you become a doer of the Word and not just a hearer? And you get your Bible reading done, you feel like you've accomplished something in the morning, but then you trek out, and maybe you don't practice what you've read. Look at Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 50. The Bible says, salt is good. But if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. And now look over at Colossians 4, 6. Colossians 4, 6 is going to be our theme verse, or text verse for the evening. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Little message tonight entitled A Seasoned Answer. How often do you season your answer with what's proper and what's good and what's pleasant and what's kind and what's gentle and what's meek? You're looking at somebody that would probably rather answer abruptly and with sarcasm. Amen, Brother Ray Everhart? We can have entire conversations with sarcasm until one of us gets mad. I'd rather answer quickly without thinking. Boy, I'd rather throw something out and the things that happen. But a seasoned answer. I just want you to consider a seasoned answer. The Bible says, let your speech be always, all the time, with grace. And then the Holy Spirit of God put in the Bible, comma, a little phrase, seasoned with salt. Now, salt's good, amen? I know people that won't sit down and eat French fries unless they're covered in salt. And just like some people won't drink a cup of coffee if it's full of sugar and then a little bit of brown liquid poured on top of it. But salt, you sit down at a dinner over in our fellowship hall, without salt, you're going to have problems. You're going to have people mad, people wanting salt because it seasons. It makes something better, and it makes it flavorful, it makes it more desirable, and it's unhealthy, but we won't go there. We'll just pretend like it's all good for you. Now, your body needs salt. It's also preservative. But season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. God wants us to know how to answer every man, every person that asks you a question. And we're confronted daily. Oh my, maybe a fourth half of our speech is just answering questions. Maybe your job has put you in management. Maybe you're working with people. Sun up, sun down on your job. You're answering people. And by the way, you're leaving a testimony of your God every time you answer somebody. And they know what it's seasoned with. Whether it's seasoned with hate, and whether it's seasoned with a little bit of wrath, whether it's seasoned with jealousy, a little bit of envy, they know. And your countenance, your body language can't deny it. But I want to talk about seasoned answer tonight, give you a few things, just simple things. This is just basic stuff out of the book of Proverbs. It's not from a leadership meeting I've been to or anything. It's just the Word of God. And let it be quick and powerful in your life, and I pray that you'd apply some of these things. But let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing on the evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I humbly come to You and lift up my preacher. And Lord, I don't deserve to stand here, but I pray You'd use this time to be a great blessing and a help to these dear people. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. Please be seated. Again, our text verse tonight. Let your speech be always with grace. See, the Bible says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Do we believe that? Every idle word, every answer, we shall give account of. That scares me. That's a lot of things out of my mouth that shouldn't have come out. But I want to talk to you about seasoning an answer with salt. So that's kind of weird. Well, that's God uses things to get our attention, things that are down on our level, like salt. And well, I know Olivia, she won't eat certain foods without salt. She has to have her salt, her Morton salt. And it was empty the other night, and she unscrewed it and just showed it to me. Well, why? Salt adds flavor and preservative. Every year in the Bible college, we have what we call college days. We just had it in February. It's a recruiting activity, and it's capped off by a wonderful fajita festival by none other than the Monsevices. And used to be we'd always praise Brother Carlos, but his son Richard did most of the work this year. So Brother Richard, I don't see him, but he's responsible pretty much for the fajita festival. And I tell you what, we'll cook over there in the fellowship hall. We only have about 40 in our college, but it's amazing how about 100 show up for that meal. They come out of the woodwork, and we've got people, neighbors, people coming to the fajita festival. Now let me tell you why. The tortillas are from Kroger, a local store, nothing too impressive. The chips on the border from Sam's, nothing too great there. Salsa in this big jar that's probably been preserved a few months. And you know what makes it wonderful? It's a little secret they won't tell us. It's the seasoning. Something makes those fajitas delicious. It's the seasoning. It makes them very appetizing and pleasant. You want more. And I've seen it, like Brother David, go back for thirds and fourths and just pile those things in. It's good. I'll give you another illustration to just emphasize before we get into the message here how important seasoning is. As a bus captain a few years ago, and I captained the great yellow bus, I had one yellow bus worker, and I was always looking to try to find a good promotion, and you do chili cheese nachos enough, and you just can't stand the cheese anymore. It's like rubbery wax stuff, and you want to find new promotions. And I thought, what could be a good promotion? And so I thought, well, I'm going to have a brilliant idea. I'm going to try a mac and cheese Sunday, and put it on the flyer. Macaroni and cheese. Kids love that stuff, right? Shake your head. I know you do. And but being the very budget penny pincher that I am, I thought, well, how am I going to do this cheap? So I went to Sam's and got one of those huge bags of noodles, just boring little egg noodles. And I thought, well, I'm going to need some cheese. And I bought the cheapest cheese I could find. And someone convinced me I need some butter. It's all going to stick together in a big clump. And we made this thing, put it on the flyer, had a decent number of kids that day, and made this stuff up and started to serve it. And I tasted some of it. And I thought, my tongue has quit working. I didn't taste anything. And we started giving it out to kids, and they were throwing it out, and they didn't want any more. And I had this big pot of noodles and cheese. Amen, mac and cheese, my own brand. And it wasn't going over very well. It was a sour bus promotion, and I felt pretty bad. Well, my wife, being a good cook, said, did you put salt in there? I said, no, why? Seasoned with salt would have sure helped that bus promotion. I've never tried that again. I'd have been more wise to buy about 30 of those little boxes and just throw it all into something. They have salt in them. They're good. But I'm just trying to tell you that things seasoned with salt are good. And I want you now to just take this message and take this verse and start to begin to apply it to your life. Let your speech, not mine, not the person sitting next to you, not your spouse, not your children, let your speech be always, all the time, with grace. And I love it, seasoned with salt, something good. And think about your relationship with your children, how rushed we get, how hurried we get, and how forceful we get with them, and how blunt we get with them. And by the way, they'll grow up to act just like you, and then some. Children, this message is for you. You know what? Season your answer with salt to your parents. And watch what respect will do. Watch the relationship grow. Watch it build. You season your answer with salt. What about with your boss? And what about with your pastor? What about with God? He's always talking to us. He's talking to you every time you open the pages of this blessed, inspired book. And how do you answer Him? Let's be honest, pretty abruptly. God, we don't have time today. One day I'll do that. No, I don't believe that. How do we answer God? And I love the way Isaiah answered Him. Isaiah 6:8 said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Short answer to the Lord, calling on His life. Probably one of the great answers in the Bible that Isaiah gave. But your answer is so important. And you're going to be asked questions all the time. Your answer is going to set a relationship in the right direction, or it's going to set a relationship in the wrong direction. It's going to grow your marriage, grow your children. It's going to help you on your job. It's going to help you in every facet of life if you can provide an answer seasoned with some salt. And I just want to emphasize that tonight. Let's look at James chapter 3. You probably know where I'm going, James chapter 3. And just consider the tongue. Now we know the tongue is an extension of the heart, and what's on a man's heart proceedeth out of the mouth. That's a whole series of messages in itself, the heart. James chapter 3, turn there please. And I want to consider a few verses. If you don't think the tongue can destroy your Christian life on earth, I want you to consider these verses. James chapter 3, verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." That's pretty bold, folks. The tongue's pretty powerful. And what comes out, by the way, you control. God gives us free will. We control that. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life. What starts wars? What starts arguments? Hey, man, what starts fights? Get saved till I was 25. Before then, not bragging on my life, but you know what? It didn't take much and words in the wrong company to get a fight going. And I remember my high school days. But it's the tongue. It's the tongue. Now let me give you a few things here, and this is the body of the message. How to have a seasoned answer. How to make your answer appealing, make it pleasing to the Lord, and see fruit. Maybe draw someone to our faith. By the way, that's our commission, each and every one here that's been born again. And just consider these things with me. Proverbs chapter 15. I want you to turn there and see this. This verse is profound, and it's very convicting to me. And I'll tell you this, the times I have stopped and considered this verse before going into a confrontation, before going into a meeting, it really helps. And it helps to put it to prayer. But Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. So how do you season an answer? You season it by making it a soft answer. Look at the Bible. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words," sure enough, "stir up anger." A soft answer. What's a soft answer do? Well, it diffuses a confrontation. It puts a conversation in the right direction. And you can direct a person to the Lord when you give them a soft answer. It changes the nature of an exchange. You can catch somebody totally off guard. When they're coming to you and they've got an agenda, you've got an agenda, and you're just ready for fireworks, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words every time will stir up anger. And James 1:19, we'll get to it. "But beloved, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Slow to speak. And a soft answer. It'll show great self-control. Proverbs 25:15 says, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." A soft tongue can do a lot of things. It can allow for reconciliation and forgiveness. I think of Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." That doesn't start with a rough conversation. That doesn't start with hard words. That starts with a soft tongue. That'll draw people to you, and in doing so, draw people to Christ. Because you know how Christ answers us, and you know how God is soft and tender with us, with His mercies new every morning. A soft answer. How to give a soft answer. Turn with, if you would, to Proverbs 16:24. My wife has quoted this verse to me no less than 1,000 times, so I have it memorized because I need it. I don't practice it every day. Proverbs 16:24 says this, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb." By the way, a honeycomb, kind of like seasoning, honey, sweet, which sure makes something good. "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Health to the bones. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken, rightly spoken, is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." That's a majestic picture. And that's just some good speech coming out of your mouth. Controlling. Use the proper tone, a soft answer, not a harsh answer. It's so easy to be harsh with our children. They don't understand everything at their young age. Train up a child in the way he should go. It'll start with a soft answer many times. The problem is, I believe we stop growing in grace. So I'm just grumpy. Well, I am too. Welcome. But you know what? We say, I'm confrontational, or this answer doesn't make any sense to me. I just can't deal with people. I can't converse with people. Yeah, you can. God made you to be a witness, and yes, you can. You learn to. You read the Bible. You apply it. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Let me give you an illustration. My brother-in-law, John Vandalin, I hope that you'd pray for his salvation. He has a doctorate in civil engineering, and he is out of Fort Collins, Colorado, and boy, he's special. He flies around the world to build shake tables. The world's a shake table. It simulates a massive earthquake. And he has this massive grant to go over to Japan and build a shake table, largest in the world, I guess. And he's working with the Japanese. He's over there a few weeks back in the States. But John, when we get together, which is infrequent, I like to talk about what he's doing. It's very interesting. And he's been on the Discovery Channel. And he loves his work. But he's working with the Japanese. And I ask him, John, tell me about the customs of the Japanese. Now, some I can't speak of here. The men like to get together in a communal, fraternal environment with maybe not a lot of clothes on and hot showers. There's some weird things. I don't want to go there. But I want to mention one characteristic of the Japanese that I think we could learn from tonight. He said the Japanese are very good, and he didn't use these exact words, a soft answer. He said you'll never get a Japanese person to confront you and tell you you're wrong or say no. He said, they'll do everything they can to keep from saying no, that won't work. He said, Cliff, he said, I could bring the most stupid proposal to them. You know, let's build the shake table and put it on a boat and move it across the ocean or something. And he said, instead of looking at me and saying, man, that's stupid. Or you're not even thinking. Or where'd you get that from? He said, a Japanese will say, oh, good idea, very good. Now, why don't we try this too? Or maybe this might work better. They provide a soft answer. It diffuses a situation and doesn't make us Americans look so stupid sometimes. But he said, they'll never confront you. And they're very good about entering into dialogue. Something maybe we're not. But a soft answer. Secondly, look at Proverbs 15:28. And by the way, we'll just probably stay in Proverbs most of the rest of the message. Proverbs 15:28. A soft answer. Secondly, a studied answer. Do you ever stop to think before you answer? Oh, we're quick to speak, but we're slow to listen. But a studied answer. Let's just see what the Word of God says. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous, that's us, studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. It's easy to just spew out venom out of our mouth, and it becomes that tongue of fire, that world of iniquity. The Bible says the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. How? How do you study to answer? Well, number one, you listen. You listen. Do some listening. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Folks, I can't tell you how many people flood my mind that are not good listeners. We're not excellent listeners. In fact, on your hand, count the number of people that are just an excellent listener. You could go to with a problem and they will let you dump until you're done. There are not very many out there. Boy, I've been out with soul winners, and boy, we're excited, we're limited in time, and we get somebody that will finally talk to us and leave the door open. We're horrible. We can take total control of the conversation, and this poor person will maybe try to say something. You cut them off, because you know doctrine. You're a fundamental Baptist, and you just shut them down. And you can watch. If you get to stand at the door any length of time, the person's countenance just kind of drop. Finally, you've wore them out, because you haven't listened. You've had an answer before they could even get out a complete sentence. I've done that before. I don't think we're winning people to Christ. They're going to probably be polite and let you finish, but a lot of times it goes the wrong direction. A studied answer. By the way, God is one that answers us. And you know what? His answer is always studied. By the way, when God gives us an answer, it is studied. Be a good listener. Second, pray. Pray. Now, here's the kind of counsel I want to seek out, and it's rare. But I want to be able to go to somebody, and the first thing out of their mouth after they listen, hopefully, is, well, let me pray about that. Wow. Get God involved in your problem, in your life. And let somebody be an intercessor for you. Let somebody take it home and digest it and take it before the Lord. We're not good at that. We're quick to speak, slow to hear. And we throw out an answer there, and we're not very studied in our answer. But that's the kind of counsel I like. Many times, Brother Reed, I go to with a college problem. It's above my head. I need some help. And he'll say, well, just let me pray about that. And that'll be about all he said. And I'm wanting an answer, wanting to execute, do something, and carry out an order. And he's like, just let me pray about it. Wow. A soft answer, prayer, studied answer. And come back the next day, and I'm all excited, and he'll have something from God, I guarantee you. And you know what? He takes the time to study. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let the Lord prepare your heart before you always give out an answer. Don't be so quick. Thirdly, answer slowly, a studied answer. Just answer slowly. We've kind of looked at this. James 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Just slow down. It's so easy to get a wrathful situation when we confront somebody. Answer slowly. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to answer is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Finally, here's another thing, and you can probably think of a lot more. How do you give a studied answer? How do you think? You do just that. You think. Maybe a lost practice. Maybe a lost art in our day. Just to think before you blurt out something. And just meditate on it. The Bible says, Proverbs 17:7, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Excellent speech. We've got to stop and think. You know, our founding fathers were so wise and meditated so much and thought so much, they were able to combine the Bible and the Constitution in just a miraculous, incredible way. Well, mention 2009, and we've got to have a huge teleprompter in front of us, and I'm not using one, thank God, by the way, tonight. We don't need that. You know what? We've lost the ability to think. We don't think we have time to think. We don't think we have any time to meditate. And we're in this electronic age, and we got all these little gadgets and things that take us away from actually thinking and praying and studying and giving a nice slow response. And we don't think. You know, nowadays the protocol is if you don't return a phone call within an hour or two, you're mad at somebody. I get that all the time. And people have just this expectation that you're not going to stop and think or pray or anything. You're just going to immediately give an answer. And they want an answer quick. Well, I remember 15, 20 years ago, you called somebody, you left them a message if they had voicemail, and you hoped maybe the next day they'd call you back. And now if you wait a day, you're in trouble. You're mad at them. And that's senseless. That doesn't allow you any time to think, prepare, and answer. But it's what we've come to expect in our rush, rush, rush society. Finally, the third thing, and these are all three again, ways to give a seasoned answer, ways to sprinkle something on your answer before you just blurt out something and hurt a relationship and hurt your testimony. Finally, three, Proverbs 17:27, hoping you're still in Proverbs. Proverbs 17:27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Think about that. He that hath knowledge, we all have some knowledge on things, spareth his words. He doesn't have to say a lot. And if he does that with a soft answer and he's studied, that's powerful, folks. People want to listen to somebody that can give a short answer that's studied and seasoned with salt. The problem is most of us like to hear ourselves. Most of us like to talk. And well, we're proud and we're arrogant. We got things to say and we just want to take control. And it'd help us if we become a good listener. And by the way, a good listener is rarely getting into trouble. And the Bible says a neat thing about a good listener. There's even a promise. You'll be thought of as wise. You'll be thought of as a good counselor if you just learn to listen. You'll be a great blessing to somebody that's going through a hardship if you just stop and listen to their problem. People want to talk. People have problems. Be a good listener. It's hard to do. You're not looking at an expert tonight. You're looking at something that God has convicted me about for months that I struggle to practice. But learn to be a good ear, to be a good counselor. The next verse in Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. That means if you just shut up, I don't like that word, but it fits here. If you just stop talking, you might even be counted wise. And the Bible goes on to say, he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Say, oh, nobody thinks I'm smart. Try being quiet. Try being a good listener. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be a blessing to somebody. Maybe you'll be an incredible help to them and a counsel for them if you just stop and listen. Children, you want to know the greatest thing I think you should say to your parents? And I expected my kids, it's a short answer. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Works great. It's a short answer. And I don't need a long explanation. Yes, sir, no, sir. But a short answer. Let me give you the results of a seasoned answer, and we're done. The results of a seasoned answer. If you start seasoning your answer with these things, look at Proverbs 15:23. This is straight from the Word of God. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, that means in the right timing, how good is it? We'll have joy by giving a right answer. I've walked away from some heated confrontations, and not every time, but the ones I've tried to handle right, and you have a sense that maybe you allowed the Lord to do something and control you and control your tongue, and it's a good feeling. It gives you joy. Proverbs 23:16 says, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. When your lips speak right things, your reins, your life shall rejoice. So you can have joy with a seasoned answer. So, well, that's good. Let's look at Proverbs 16:20. Here's a great promise. Here's something you need to consider every time you have to answer somebody. Work on your job, wonders. Work with your pastor, wonders. Work with everybody, wonders. Work with God, wonders. Proverbs 16:20. Well, you can have good and you can have happiness. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. If you handle a matter wisely, you'll find good. Many times you'll find reconciliation in the problem. And you'll find that the Lord can get involved and convict hearts. Listen, folks, you give somebody that's ready for you a soft answer, and you study, and then you're short, you're gonna literally blow some people away. They're not going to understand if it's you. They're going to wonder if you're sick. And in the process, God's going to be dealing with their heart because you've just practiced the Word of God. You've just been a doer of the Word of God, not just a hearer every time you graze through these verses in Proverbs. Finally, you'll stay out of sin. Why season your answer with salt? Proverbs 21. Last place I'll have you turn. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. If you can just control your tongue, season it with salt, something tasty, something gentle, something meek, something kind, something favorable, something positive, something from an overflow of what God, you allow Him to do in you. And the Bible says you keep your soul from troubles. By the way, we have the ability to do all these tonight. I'm not preaching anything too difficult here. We can do these things. We can give a soft answer, and we can study about it, study over it, and we can give a short answer. And as we bring this message to a close tonight, the message I've given, I just want to ask you and challenge you, how might it change your answer? How might tonight, when you're confronted, and maybe kids ask you to go to Brahms, boy, it's easy to shut them down with a harsh answer. Kids, we got to get home for school. It's so easy. Maybe you're already thinking about something on the job tomorrow, a hard, difficult phone call you've got to make. Pray about it. Study about it. Surprise them with a soft answer. And maybe just a short answer. Let them do some talking. I found in when you're in an accident with somebody, a car accident, or when you're in an altercation or something, usually if you let somebody just do the talking, things work out. And finally, they'll just drop their shoulders and say, wow, I'm sorry. And it'll work wonders, these things. Season your answers with salt. Work in your family. Work on the job. Work with your enemies. What melts an enemy? These things, seasoning an answer with salt, they're expecting the worst out of your mouth, and they're expecting confrontation. What about to a lost and dying world, seasoned with salt? What's God's objective in our lives, in the Bible, to reach people and draw them and see them one to Christ? They notice salt, by the way. By the way, when you eat something, shake your head, you notice if it's salty enough. That's right. Get me the salt. Well, I know some people that'll just stop because they've got to have salt on that food before they'll eat any further. Psalm 71:24 says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. That's what needs to be coming out of our mouth. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. An answer. And you know what? This brings it back to our text verse tonight. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with a little salt, that you may know how to answer every man. God wants you to know how to answer everybody that you speak to. And I want you to think of the character of God in closing tonight. I'm thankful for Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm thankful our God exhibits these characteristics perfectly, folks. I'm thankful that God's mercies are new every morning, that He's soft and gentle with me when He should be so rough and hard, and I should be in hell paying for sins committed many, many times over. And I'm glad He's soft with me. And I'm glad He's got a studied answer. Need I say more? He's got a studied answer, the Word of God. And I'm glad, too. A lot of His answers are very short. Think about how He answers your prayer. He doesn't go into a long dialogue. It's maybe yes, no, wait, be patient. Back in the Word, well, why aren't you in church? What about your walk with me? His answers are very short, and they're always right. And God does all three of these perfectly. And I challenge you tonight, this message, again, it didn't come from some leadership seminar, some 40 days of this or that. It came from the Bible, folks. And it gets back to being a doer of the Word. These things are simple. They'll draw people to Christ, I'm sure, in your life when you just give a seasoned answer. A seasoned answer with salt. What's a seasoned answer? It's a soft answer. It's a kind answer. It's a friendly answer. It's something that warms a person up, makes them maybe smile. A studied answer. You want a studied answer, right? Why go to counsel if you're going to get a brash, quick, forthright answer without any study behind it, without any God behind it? And you know what? A lot of times you just want a short answer. Just tell me what I need to hear. And those things, straight out of the Bible, how to have a seasoned answer. Lord, I thank You for this time. Lord, I just pray You'd bless as we have an invitation. I don't know how You'll use it, but I pray Your Holy Spirit would get involved. And Lord, I know many, many, many times over the sin that I brought into my life and committed and caused because I can't follow simple instruction from the Word of God. And Lord, You say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And Father, I pray in these moments now You just instruct, You do some reproving, You do some correcting. And Lord, we need to follow the simple truths of the Bible every time we speak, every time we give an answer. And I just pray, Lord, You convict hearts now. I ask You to stand as the music begins to play. The altars are open. Maybe you've had an answer towards God of no. Maybe He's tugging at your heart tonight. This is time for you, lost sinner, if you need to come forward and ask the Lord to save your soul. God has probably approached you many times, sinner, if you haven't been saved, with a soft reply, with a soft kneeling of your heart. God wants to save you tonight. What's been your answer to Him? Many of you are saved, born again. Challenge you. What is your answer like? What is your answer like? Is it seasoned with salt? Or is it seasoned with you, with carnality, with the world, with hate, with jealousy, with envy, with vice, with greed? What's your answer like?